Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's go out on the Swartz-Cullerton guest line. If you're injured at work, get justice. Call Swartz-Cullerton at 800-JUSTICE. Of course, the Phillies about to enter a major point of interest for all of us as Phillies fans, free agency in 2 days, kind of how to build this thing forward as they strategize. We look for some thoughts on what this could look like up ahead. And for that, we turn to the Phillies general manager, Mr. Matt Klintak, kind enough to join our show today. Matt, welcome to the show. How you been, Matt?
Thanks a lot. I'm good. Yeah, I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Matt, we are excited. We're hopeful, of course, as you know. Glad you're doing well. Let's get to it. Free agency in 2 days. What is the mindset that you have and sort of the expectations that you have that you can share with the fans of what fans maybe can expect up ahead in the next couple of days and weeks? As we know, this sometimes takes some time to develop, but the expectation of the organization entering free agency.
Happy to share exactly what's on our minds. I think we enter this offseason very open-minded, and it's no secret that we failed to reach our goal last year by, roughly 10 games. We're an 80-win team, and to make the playoffs, a good target is 90. Ideally, you get more than that. But I think we're looking to try to improve ourselves, somewhere in that 10-win range. And that's not easy to do in any, for any team in any offseason. But we have to look at ourselves, critically and assess where we can make improvements. And that sounds simple. It's not always that simple because as we look around, just looking at the position player crew for a second, the majority of our team is somewhere in that 24, 25, 26-year-old window. And, there's a reasonable expectation for players at that age that they will continue to get better. So, we may look at an outside addition, whether it's a free agent or a trade acquisition, and, conclude that other player is better than what we have, but we don't know exactly how much better our young guys will get. So I think we have to go into this offseason open-minded to upgrades at any spot, position players, starters, relievers. We're not going to turn over the entire team, but I think we are open-minded to exploring everything because we know we need to make this team better.
Matt, what do you make of Manny Machado's comments about not being Mr. Hustle?
It got my attention. There was a bright spotlight on Manny this postseason, and yeah. The one thing that we can't lose sight of is this guy's really good, and he had some big hits and made some big plays in the offseason too. But that stuff matters. I've talked about this a lot, this past year, and in my postseason press conference, perception does matter, and we want to make sure we put a team on the field that our fans can relate to and our fans are proud of. And, I'm not going to get into too much talking about Manny or any other player in free agency for that matter. That's not fair to the players. But, it is something that we will consider. And we will, for every player that's available, we have a, evaluation of them. And there's a lot of factors that play into that. Age, cost, offensive production, defensive production, versatility, and obviously the style of play is another factor. So, for every player we evaluate, we're going to incorporate all that. And if there's a good deal, we'll try to make it. And if there's not, then we'll pivot to something else.
Matt, for those high-profile acquisitions, those really big bucks kind of guys, how likely do you think it is that the Phillies organization is able to land one of them?
I realize that's sort of the major question this offseason. I don't mean to punt on this, but it really just has to do with the value and what we think the impact of a certain player would have on our team. And, I've said this before, we have raised the floor of this organization in just about every realm, not the least of which is at the major league level. We've got a quality player, league average type player or better, just about at every spot now. And that got us to about 80 wins. And I think I'm not suggesting we will do this, but rolling out the exact same team next year, just given age and development and the likelihood of player improvement, would probably lead to an improved team next year. But we need to evaluate where we can move the needle even further. Could that come in the form of a mega contract for a free agent? Sure. Is it necessary that we do that? I don't think so. We have to be able to evaluate these things objectively, and if they make sense, we'll do it. We are a big market team. We have been very careful with our out-year payroll commitments for a reason, and that reason is to put ourselves in position to consider anything. And now as we embark on the offseason, we will consider anything, but we know that we also cannot put ourselves in a spot where we have to do X or have to do Y. If you put yourself in that position, you are bound to make bad decisions.
Matt, you mentioned critical self-assessment earlier. Free agents aside, how does this team get better defensively?
That's a great question. It's something we obviously are looking to do. I think realistically, you're not going to go from the bottom of in team defense where there's nine different players, including the pitcher spot, that affect that. It's not going to happen overnight in one off season. You're not going to swap out nine guys for nine top defenders. So I think the best way I can answer that is it's going to happen both with the instruction and improvement and development of the players we have here, and they're them getting better. But it's also going to be when we do make acquisitions from the outside, whether that's one or two or three or who knows. That we do so with an eye towards defense. And does that mean that we're only targeting gold glovers? No. Does that mean that we would never acquire a top offensive performer who's suspect defensively? No. All of these, you have to assess the value in all of these contemplated moves. But we know we need to improve our team defense. So what can we do this offseason? Is just we need to be focused on it. And Jorge Alfaro, through instruction and reps and a commitment to getting better, became one of the best defensive catchers in baseball in 1 year. And again, he's blessed with with incredible athleticism and a cannon arm, and that helps.
Yep.
But what he did on the receiving end was basically done through hard work. And I think there are other players on our team that can do the same. So we obviously want to improve our defense, which will in turn help our run prevention, which will in turn help us win games. And, we're gonna prioritize that this winter.
Did you get what you'd hoped for out of Carlos Santana?
Honestly, I mean, yeah, his season was very Carlos Santana-ish. He has been as consistent a performer as just about anybody in the league for the last 7 or 8 years. He walked 110 times, more walks and strikeouts, hit 24, 25 homers, worked long at bats, was a good defender at first. He was great. Now, obviously, moving Reese to left, posed some challenges for us defensively.
Yeah.
But, that wasn't Carlos's fault. I think Carlos was great. The thing that I love about Carlos, above all else, and I just said some things that I do really love, the power, the walks, the defense, I love that this guy posts every day. He does not want to come out of the lineup. He wants to be out there for nine innings a night, hitting in the top or middle of the lineup. And there is no quit in this guy. He never wants out. He's a fighter. And I think we talked at the opening of the segment about trying to create a team that the fans can relate to and be proud of. I think Carlos Santana is the perfect guy for that. Because he is a grinder, he works his butt off, he wants to be out there. He's a really good player for this town. Now the question is, how do we make all the pieces work? And it's a good question, but I'm a big fan of Carlos Santana.
Phillies general manager Matt Klintak with us here. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie on WIP. Matt, what position would you prefer Rhys Hoskins play this upcoming season?
Yeah, again, very simple question. I would like Rhys to play the spot that makes our team the best, and the team around him will have as much to do with that as Rhys himself. So, I think Rhys in left field, if he continues to play out there, is going to get better. He's too hard of a worker. You guys know this. He's too hard of a worker, too good of an athlete to not get better. He will. You know, he's still in his mid-20s, so over the next few years, he'll continue to improve out there. And I think Carlos is a really good first baseman. You know, we experimented in the last 10 days of the year with Carlos playing some third base, and he looked okay over there. I don't know that we want to commit to a full season switch at this juncture of Reese moving to first and Carlos moving to third, but I do think there's some, you know, there's some reason for optimism that we could have both those guys playing a little bit of both of those spots. And all of a sudden, if, you know, we have a ground ball guy on the mound, which we have a few of, we have Nola and Arrieta most notably, we might, you know, create a lineup that day that, you know, optimizes for infield defense where, you know, Santana is at first base and, you know, Franco or Crawford or somebody else is playing third that gives us some defense at third, and Reese plays left on that day. On the, you know, on the other side of the coin, on a day where we have our more fly ball oriented pitchers on the mound, maybe that's a day where, you know, the Reese and Carlos are playing the infield corners and we're, you know, putting out our best outfield defense. I'm not certain that that's the way it's going to go, but that's something we are considering and talking about. And again, a lot of it's just going to have to do with, you know, what else we do this offseason, who's available to us at what cost, and how does that fit on our team. Ultimately, it's about winning baseball games, and there's a lot of different ways we can deploy players that put us in the best position to win. So we will, as I said earlier, have to be open-minded and explore a lot of things.
What does Odubel have to do to become a consistent performer?
You know, it's funny. I did an interview with Bob Brook over late in the year. I don't remember if it was August or September, and he asked me a similar lead-in question. And there's two different types of consistency. There's one, there's the game-to-game, week-to-week, month-to-month type, which, and I know Odubel is prone to very hot streaks and very cold streaks. There's also the year-to-year consistency. And this is a guy in his first 4 years in the big leagues that's OPS somewhere between 730 and 780, which is a pretty narrow band for, you know, for a full season of OPS. So, you know, his profile is changing a little bit. You know, he was, you know, more of a speedy type in his early years, and he's growing into much more power now. He obviously had a career high in the home run department this year, among other things. But it's hard playing 162 games, or, you know, maybe not 162, but playing a full season's worth of games for a position player. You're going to be prone to hot and cold stretches, just like every player. I think, you know, the more experience that Odubel gains, he's still just 26 years old, the more experience that he gains in this league, getting to know how he responds to certain events, what he can do to stay in hot streaks, what he can do to limit cold streaks, I think he's just going to get better at that naturally. Not to say we can't help him with some coaching and some other things, but I think he will get better. But like, I just don't want to lose sight of the fact that this guy year over year has been pretty consistent, even though it can be frustrating game to game sometimes.
Matt, the starting rotation for a good portion of this past season was just outstanding, especially really surprising 3, 4, and 5, how good they were, and tailed off dramatically in the final month and a half. As you embark on free agency, is it your hope to sign a no-doubt-about-it starting pitcher to go in, let's say, the top three? Of course, Cole Hamels available, others available. Or do you view it as the combination of Pivetta, Eflin, Eichhoff, Velasquez, let those guys battle it out for 3, 4, and 5, and that you feel okay with the rotation you have and the way they'll develop?
I would love to add that guy, top-end frontline starter. That makes us no different than the other 2019s. Everybody's looking for that. We've talked for the last, you know, 3 years or so since I've been on the job about the importance of starting pitching, and that if you have good starting pitching, you have a chance to win every night. And even in some of our early rebuilding years where we weren't a very good team, you know, we've tried to run out a credible major league staff. And I think for the most part, we did that. Obviously, it's getting better now. But I think, look back to some of the teams the Phillies ran out at the beginning part of the decade with, you know, Hamels and Halliday and Cliff Lee and Oswalt and, I'm sure I'm missing one or two, but like elite starting rotations. It's no surprise that those teams were winning 90 or 100 games every year, because when you control the first, you know, 5, 6, 7 innings of the game with that kind of dominance, you're going to win a lot of baseball games. So I would love to add that guy. We're definitely going to be open to doing so. Not surprisingly, those guys are very expensive, either in player talent in the form of a trade or in free agency. And we just have to evaluate if that makes sense. I will say that you talked about the, you know, 3, 4, and 5s, which I'm assuming you're talking about, you know, Eflin, Pivetta, Velasquez,
yep.
And how they were great for, you know, 4.5 months and then faded down the stretch. My evaluation of that's not terribly different. The three numbers I point to for that, though, are 24, 25, and 26, and those are their ages. And it's not – Aaron Nola is an outlier for a guy that at 25 is having Cy Young caliber seasons. Most pitchers, when they're in their mid-20s, are still learning. They're still growing. They're still getting better. They're still developing. And I think that's what is notable about the, you know, Eflin, Pivetta, Velasquez, is that these guys are still on the ascent in their careers, or they should be. You know, I can't predict exactly what they're going to be, but by aging curves and in terms of the stuff they possess, they really should be on the ascent. So if we are to add a, you know, a starter from the outside, whoever that might be, you know, we need to factor in, what does that mean for the guys we have? Is there a corresponding trade we can make with one of our guys to add something in an area, you know, we need to address elsewhere? You know, I don't particularly want to option one of those guys we just talked about because, as you said, they were really good for 4.5 months. They're certainly really good major league starters. So, you know, my sort of long-winded rambling answer, I guess, suggests that it's not a clear answer, but we would certainly love to add top of the rotation pitchers every year. That's the name of the game.
But does Arrieta's contract affect the way you'll approach the pitching market this offseason?
The fact that we have a high paid starter on the books for the next 2 years,
yeah.
I mean?
Yes.
Maybe. I would say not directly. I mean, you know, the fact that we have $25 million on the books for Jake next year and 20 the year after that, you know, that affects our team payroll, obviously. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's coming from a starting pitcher or that it is Jake Arrieta specifically, that has less to do with it. It's more just with how we balance out a payroll. We were last offseason. I mean, we were pretty careful in free agency last year to limit the term. You know, we were aggressive in the dollars for both Arrieta and Santana, but we were very careful with the length of those contracts, not wanting to extend, you know, beyond 3 years. And part of that is just to maintain our flexibility. As I said earlier, and this predates me, but, you know, the ownership here in our front office, we've been very careful with not extending too far, extending our payroll commitments out too far. And that's not just something we say because it sounds good. It's because we want to make sure that we are, you know, protecting and preserving our flexibility moving forward. You never want to find yourself going into an off season where you have to address certain things on your team and you don't have the money or the roster space to do it. That's a bad feeling. So, you know, I'm not saying we're going to limit ourselves to exclusively 3-year contracts this off season. More than likely we'll explore things beyond that. But, you know, we always want to make sure that we are careful with our, you know, future year outlook.
Matt, tell me if this is a fair statement. J.P. Crawford, Franco, Kingery, Herrera, whether they start for the squad in 2018 or not will be dependent on who you sign at their positions. Fair or unfair?
Crawford, Franco, Herrera, and who was the last
and
one?
And Kingery.
Kingery? Yeah, I guess so. I'm not sure that's not supposed to be a trick question. I don't think.
No, what I'm trying to gauge is you have players you know should develop.
Yeah.
You I presume believe in perhaps some more than others, and probably don't want to articulate that here, and that's fine. But how you balance who you believe in, but also what the market will bear, and who you can get to agree to a contract, and then how that shuffles who ultimately starts based on who you acquire.
I think that's a fair assessment. And so said more simply, I think if we acquire an outfielder, for example, then we probably have one too many outfielders. And there probably will have to be some sort of a corresponding move to go with that, whether that's the same day or a week later or a month later, I don't know. But that would probably be the case. Now, and same thing in the infield, same thing probably on the mound, as we talked about. So I think that's, again, one of the challenges of the offseason, but kind of one of the fun parts about our offseason is that we can really play both sides of things here now, too, where we are exploring acquisitions, but we also can explore, you know, what it would mean if we were trading one of our own players away and what we could get back for it. So we really have to play both sides of it. As I said earlier, there is an argument to be made to run back out there all the guys we have because they're good, they're young, they're still growing, they're still developing. But if we don't do that, if we do add guys from the outside, we probably will have to make a corresponding move to someone who's on our team right now. So I think that's fair.
All right, Matt, final thing. Do you feel from John Middleton pressure to accelerate this so that it's a little bit less rebuilding-oriented and a little bit more we really think we're not hoping to contend, but we think we can contend in 2019? Do you feel some of that from the top?
You know, I have to tell you, I feel that from myself. I don't like losing. I the first 2 years here, we were in full-on rebuild mode. I was miserable. I hate that. And then for the first 5 months of this year, it was a lot more fun. September was miserable. But I don't know that, you know, it's a pressure from anybody over my head that's motivating me to, or us as a baseball operations group to push forward. That's our job. That's what we want to do. I will tell you, you know, John Middleton and the Buck family, our owners, they are really good business people. They understand. And they know the realities of baseball. They've been with the Phillies a heck of a lot longer than I have. And they want us to build a great franchise that is going to sustain winning for a long period of time. And I don't feel like they put undue pressure on me or us to do X or Y or Z. They do want us to be better. They do want us to run a good organization. And, you know, any pressure or motivation to win really comes from our, you know, myself, our own internal desires to be great. And that's why we get into this game in the first place. So John's been incredibly supportive for the last 3 years, and I would expect nothing less this offseason. I expect he'll be supportive again.
Hey, Matt, did you go trick-or-treating?
I have two young kids, so yes, I did.
What's the best kind of Halloween candy?
As a guy growing up in just outside of Boston and living on the East Coast for most of my life, there has never been a better weather Halloween. Better,
no
it was
kidding.
Like one of the most beautiful fall days I can remember. So
yeah,
we've had worse, that's for sure.
Did you skim any candy off the top of your kids' bags?
Not that they know of.
What's your favorite kind of Halloween candy?
I like Sour Patch Kids. I like Twix. I like Kit Kats. I like anything.
You like it
but,
all.
Hey, you know, actually, that's not true. I don't like Whoppers. I don't like Neckos. There's a few things I don't like. But.
Hey, Matt, I promise you, if you bring a World Series back to Philly, unlike the Red Sox fans, no Philly fan will ever throw a beer and break the trophy. So I just want you to know.
Hey, sounds good. I'll hold you to that.
Matt, thanks for your time today. Good luck in free agency and all that lies ahead. We're certainly hoping for great things from the squad in 2019.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Matt.
Right, there he is, Philly General
bye-bye.
Manager Matt Klintak. Again, Swartz, Carlton, Gesslin.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.